Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad you're with us, and lots to get to. It's a bye week for IU football, so things from a football perspective slow down just a bit, but boy, when the team gets back to action after a break, some important games forthcoming as we talk with Zach Osterman about yesterday as far as bowl eligibility for that team. Romeo Langford in Boston yesterday, media day, lots of photos, lots of interviews, and you could tell lots of excitement from him that he is cleared. He is healthy to play, and he is satisfied, or seems that he's been working hard and sees improvement with his shot. And hopefully we all get that opportunity to see that as well when preseason games begin Sunday for the Celtics coming up as well. Also, Indiana basketball names its captains for the 2019-2020 season. And, of course, we are days away from Hoosier Hysteria in Bloomington, which is the official kickoff for fans, even though the team's been practicing officially now for just over a week, or just under a week at this point, I should say. The official kickoff for fans, a huge recruiting night forthcoming on Saturday for the Hoosier Hysteria event. There will be lots of prospects there. Don't have a final list. I'm not sure we'll get a full list at any point, but expect a lot of different names from a lot of different classes to be on campus, whether it be an official, but probably more likely unofficial visits. One we know for sure that's going to be huge this weekend is Christian Lander from Evansville Rights. He was at Louisville this past weekend. He'll be at IU for an official visit this weekend, and a big opportunity for him to see up close and personal with fans there the passion of IU basketball and what it would mean to be an in-state player and play for the home state university. So big weekend coming every day this week with the excitement of the basketball season is big, and glad that you're with us for the ride again today. We do this each weekday, 11 o'clock. You can catch the replay most days at 3 o'clock here on the Big X, and we're also available as a podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts as well, two of the major ways to locate us if you want to listen to us on demand at your availability. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one is normal. We've got our Zaxby's Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at the captains for IU basketball for the upcoming season. We'll take a look at Andre Curbelo, an IU target point guard prospect in the 2020 class. He's had some development with his recruiting as far as official visits, which, again, these senior official visits in the fall leading up to the start of their high school senior year, big visit, and Indiana has not gotten one scheduled so far, but that could be forthcoming, so we'll tell you about that. A couple other notes in our headline segment today as well. Later in the program, going to switch things up. Greg Doyle's with us, presented by Coffee Crossing per normal on this Tuesday show. With Greg, we'll talk about this California law signed into existence by the governor yesterday morning. It all happened, I guess, a little bit before we went on the radio, went on the air yesterday. And so I was reading about it, but wanted to read a little bit more to comment or to think on it. And Greg is all over it. So we're going to talk with him about how this could affect the landscape of college sports. There have been lots of rebuttals. The NCAA put a statement out. Some of the conferences have been releasing statements. This could get very, very hairy and very, very interesting moving forward. And so we'll talk with Greg Doyle about that some coming up in the next segment as well. Also, Greg was at Purdue football this past weekend, so a lot of concern from locals about Rondale Moore and his injury. It doesn't look like he's going to play, or I should say he's not going to play in Purdue's next game against Penn State coming up this weekend. But other than that, I haven't seen a lot of details on the injury, although it looked to be something that was concerning. So we'll check that out with Greg. We'll talk some IU football, some Coach Allen as well, and I'm sure we'll get into some basketball stuff with Hoosier Hysteria coming up later this week. Also, later in the program, we'll be joined by Tom Westerholm. Tom works for MassLive.com and covers the Celtics. He's the Boston Celtics beat writer for the MassLive website. He joined us a couple times back around the draft and after the draft to talk about Romeo Langford's landing spot in Boston. And Romeo had media day. The Celtics had media day yesterday. Romeo's healthy now. There's a lot more known about this Boston team after a lot of changes in the offseason. And so Tom checks in with us today to talk about what all happened yesterday at media day. Training camp get underway for a lot of NBA teams today. Preseason games begin later this week for most teams, into next week as well for some teams. And what opportunities Romeo could have, what he sees as someone that follows the team very closely. So Tom Westerholm of Mass Live joining us today to talk some Romeo Langford in Boston. That comes up a little bit later on the show today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines by Zaxby's. Zaxby's, with location in Jeffersonville and New Albany, brings you the top Southern Indiana and IU sports news of the day each week here on the program. And we've got to start with an announcement yesterday. I don't think there's any surprise with one player, but maybe a little surprise with the other. Yesterday, IU announcing that senior Devontae Green and junior Al Durham Jr. will be captains for the 2018-19 season. Again, with Green, you kind of assume it. He's been there for a while. He's a senior. All the preseason talk revolves, a lot of it revolves around him and his ability to score. Can he continue on from the good close he had to the season last year, although there were some concerning and sketchy moments otherwise, but at times he showed he could score the basketball. He will be needed to do that in his senior year at Indiana. So no surprise that he's a captain, but junior Al Durham a captain, and I can see that because he's such a vocal player and by all accounts a good leader. So it's, again, likely he'll be a two-year captain for this IU program. That's obviously voted on by teammates, announced by the IU program yesterday. Archie Miller said, quote, "Being a team captain comes with great responsibility. You lead by example on the floor every day with your work ethic and in the locker room by not being afraid to hold your teammates accountable and representing the standards we expect when you wear Indiana across your chest. Devontae and Al have earned the respect of their teammates and coaching staff." So interesting interesting to hear that, or interesting to see that. Again, no real surprise to me for Devontae Green. Maybe a little bit, or you didn't know who the other one would be, the second captain would be, but Al Durham Jr. taking that role in his junior season at Indiana. Indiana, of course, with Hoosier Hysteria coming up later this week, recruiting will be the big deal there. We mentioned that Christian Lander will have an official visit. There will be some other potential visits that are very meaningful from upperclassmen. There will also likely be a lot of underclassmen on campus as well. I believe Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek is scheduled to be on campus as well this weekend for the IU program, and you can bet that it's going to be a very busy weekend for the IU coaches, not just with the event on Saturday, but with all the hustling and bustling and touring around campus and meetings that they will be part of and organizing for the recruits that will be on campus. Definitely a hard-hitting recruiting weekend is forthcoming for the IU basketball program. In the 2020 class, one of the names that IU very focused on is a point guard named Andre Curbelo of Long Island Lutheran High School in New York. He cut his list of five schools. It's been a couple weeks now. Illinois, Indiana, Miami, Oregon, and St. John's made his final five. And he's beginning to set up official visits, so he could take five official visits. So far, he's announced three of his locations. Indiana, not one of those three thus far. Illinois will get an opportunity to host Curbelo coming up here in a few weekends. Later in the month of October, he will be in Oregon. And coming up this weekend, he will be down in Miami. So he's going to do some traveling for his official visits. He did say, or his high school coach did say, that they were working on some other official visits. So one would assume that Indiana is going to get an opportunity really soon to host Andre Curbelo, who, again, is someone that Archie Miller and some of the assistants have been to see a number of times in the last few months, whether it was the wrap-up of travel basketball in the summer or whether it was the coaches being able to hit the road so far this fall, getting up to Long Island to watch his team work out. But definitely there, involved in that recruiting is Indiana, and you've got to assume that they will get an official visit, which would be big for that, for the recruitment of Curbelo and their opportunity to land him in this 2020 class. High school football moves to week 7 coming up on Friday night. Seymour at New Albany, Jeffersonville, they go on the road to Madison. Silver Creek, another Mid-Southern Conference game. Of course, the big one is coming up next week, but they'll play at North Harrison here in Week 7. Floyd Central, a little beat up. Some injuries for the Highlanders, who've been playing some good football but never could really get it going against Columbus East. They have a game at Jennings County. Providence hosts Mitchell. Clarksville has a tough one as they host Brownstown. Charlestown on the road at Cordon, another winnable game for the Pirates, who have won 4 straight. And Rock Creek plays at North Davies in football for Week 7. Sectional pairings coming out here in a few weeks. We've got Week 7, Week 8, and Week 9 of the regular season. So 3 weeks remaining in the regular season of high school football in the books. Then we'll see how the drawings of the pairings work out, and do we have any local teams that can find a way to not only advance deep into the sectional, but perhaps to win a sectional, move on to regional play. Floyd Central, I think you would mark maybe as one of the teams with the best opportunity here in our immediate area in the 5A sectional, with New Albany, Jeff, who they've beaten, both of those teams, and Bedford North Lawrence as well, another Hoosier Hills Conference school in that four-teamer. But some injuries for the Highlanders. We'll talk about this later in the week and in some of our high school football programming coming up, and we'll see if the Highlanders still able to keep things rolling as they get back to, I don't want to say a regular schedule, but definitely not an opponent like Columbus East coming up Friday in Jennings County for the Highlanders. Tough one last week for Floyd Central. Week 7 of football, we will be focusing on that. And, of course, going back to last Friday night, Week 6, our Athlete of the Week, Marion Lukes of Charlestown, with a big performance for the Pirates, who have won 4 straight, looking for 5 straight this week. And our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented each week by Sardano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Marion, the latest recipient of that award, which we announce every Monday. That's a look at the headlines presented by Zaxby's. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins the program. With Greg, we'll talk about this law that California signed into law regarding athletes and professionalism and likeness, and going to be interesting to see how this affects the rest of college sports and what else perhaps this could spur in other similar bills and similar things that could be introduced by other states. I think I saw a representative in Florida has already introduced a very similar bill to the House in the state of Florida. So going to be interesting to follow. Curious Greg's thoughts, and curious just to learn a bit more about it coming up. We'll do that and more. IU football, Rondale Moore, and a lot more discussion coming up with Greg, presented by Coffee Crossing, in the next segment of our Tuesday program. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Tuesdays. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Lots to get to. Hoosier Hysteria coming up on Saturday. IU football coming off a tough loss, but a competitive loss to Michigan State on this past Saturday. And, Greg, I want to start with this. Very interesting happenings coming out of the state of California. Yesterday, Governor Newsom in California signed Senate Bill 206, which will allow athletes to profit from their use of their name, image, and likeness starting in the year 2023. And that pen to paper yesterday, that one signature, set off a whole bunch of things immediately and likely long term as well, as far as rebuttals from the NCAA, the Pac-12 conference, and just very interesting to think about. And I think probably some general confusion with the bill itself and what it means. So I wanted to start with that today. Very interesting times in college sports, specifically the scandal in college basketball, Kansas and Georgia Tech getting some major violations or investigations underway, but also now this likeness bill in California, which is likely to spur other similar things in other states.
Yeah, the game's over. The game as we know it's over. There have been other big changes in college sports. You know, the conference realignment was huge. It's hard to imagine something bigger than that. But this will be bigger. The transfer portal, you know, the SMU death penalty, things have happened that have affected college sports, but nothing like this. And if anybody out there at this moment thinks I'm full of crap or I'm overstating it, that's fine. I get it. But 5 years from now, remember what you heard. I mean, this changes everything, because what the California has done is they've now forced NCAA to change. The NCAA wasn't going to change. They weren't going to allow athletes to make money off of their name, their face, endorsements. They weren't going to do it. And for years, they've not done it. Now that California said, yeah, you can do it, the NCAA literally has two choices right now. And I'm writing about this later today. I'm not just spitballing here. I've talked to the NCAA. I've talked to ADs, commissioners, coaches. I promise you, I know what's happening here. What's happening here is this. The NCAA has two choices, and they know it. They can either kick every school in California out of the association, because you can't compete against those schools. Those schools can legally pay athletes now. You can't compete against that. So they can either kick California out, which they're not going to do, or they can change the rules and allow likenesses and images to be rewarded everywhere, which is what they're going to do. The question is, what does that look like? You know, it's the unintended consequences that wreak havoc. It's the stuff that nobody, you know, it's the stuff that, like in the movie Jurassic Park, when they decide they don't want the dinosaurs to mate, and so they're going to make them all male, and that way they won't mate. Well, the unintended consequences is life found a way, and the dinosaurs switched sexes, and some of them became women. They mated, and we had a great movie because of it. Chaos is coming to college sports in a way that we can't even imagine right now.
Yeah, no question about it. And Greg, I want to make sure that I've got this correct, because I've heard other people say otherwise, and I don't think that what they're saying is correct. But this really doesn't necessarily, at the forefront, or at least right now, mean more money out of colleges in California per se to pay players. This is about that volleyball player A, football player B, basketball player C can be sponsored to be in a car dealer commercial. They can run a summer camp if they're a star player. Say Romeo Langford, if it was in California, he would be able to have a camp, even if he was a college athlete. But normally you couldn't do anything with your likeness and make money off of something like that and still maintain your eligibility. That's the forms of benefits and income that could come off of this bill. It's not UCLA paying an athlete to use their photo in a calendar for them to be part of their program, correct?
Correct. The state law does not allow Southern California, USC, the Trojans, does not allow them to give the quarterback $5,000 a year. It allows the quarterback at USC, starting in 2023, it allows the quarterback in USC to go work for the car dealer or the construction company or whatever and get paid for that. The thing, and to California's credit, they know what they're doing. They will not let this law take effect until 2023 because they understand what I just said is that this law is not going to be – I mean, this law will change everything, but this law will be irrelevant because in three or four – in a way, because in three or four years, NCAA will pass legislation that opens it to everybody. So SB 206 won't even be necessary because NCAA is going to create their own rule that allows this to happen because California has forced their hand. That's simple as that. Now, where the chaos comes in is, A, does the NCAA cap the revenue an athlete can make? Can they? And if they try, whoever the next Zion Williamson is, if the NCAA says $5,000 is the most you can make a year from whatever, and the next Zion comes along and says, why? You know, why? This is America. Why? The market will tell me what I'm worth. And so if you can't cap, and if you can't cap it, and I'm not sure they can, if they can't cap it, well, then also the recruiting advantages in big cities. It's like, as one coach was telling me, I mean, literally a college coach in our state was telling me yesterday, this will turn college basketball and football into NBA free agency, where, you know, nobody comes and plays for the Pacers, right? Nobody with great options because they want to be in bigger markets. Well, if it's all about revenue and endorsements and whatnot, why would you go to, let's say you're an athlete in Washington. Seattle has 4 million people and all those businesses. Pullman, Washington, home of Washington State, has 30,000. Where's an athlete going to go given the choice between those two schools if he can make money off his name and recognition?
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. So you could say that this bill signed by the governor, passed by the California House, is symbolic. And you could say that I read a story this morning where a legislator in Florida either has introduced or has announced that they are going to introduce a similar bill in the Florida legislature. You could say that these are ultimately likely between now and whenever they kick into effect. I think all said 2023 are symbolic for forcing the hand, essentially, of the NCAA to make a organization-wide policy or amends to their current rules.
What you're seeing now is politicians around the country doing what they do, and that is grandstanding and trying to win votes. Because, yes, there's no need for Florida. South Carolina's already got a bill planned. There's no need for it. I mean, Pandora's box just got ripped open. It's over. It's over. California said it's over, and it's over. So any other state that does this, it's window dressing because, like I said, NCAA is going to make some changes. They announced yesterday, they put a statement out in response to this, the California bill. And the statement says the NCAA – almost word for word, I just wrote it in my story, I'm driving somewhere, I don't have in front of me, but almost word for word, the NCAA recognizes that changes must be made to its current, you know, name, image, and likeness. I mean, they're like I say, it's over. But this only happened because of California. Now, NCAA might hide behind, again, I know a lot of stuff about this, NCAA might hide behind, you know, we appointed this committee in May to look into names and likenesses, you know, 4 months before this bill got signed, and that's true. But what you might not know is that this bill was introduced in February and passed through the California Senate 4 times without getting killed between February and April. It wasn't until then that NCAA in May said, okay, the game's over. We're gonna appoint a committee and make this change ourselves.
Yeah, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Some wild times right now in college sports, and this is going to be the latest and perhaps maybe by far the biggest of the changes in the wild times to come. Going to be very – very interesting to follow. Greg, I want to talk some college football, mainly IU and Coach Allen here in just a moment, but I want to start with Purdue and Rondale Moore, the local boy, because you were there on Saturday, and I didn't see the game live. I did see a replay in the portion where he was carted off the field, which is always concerning, especially when it's somebody that you know and you're cheering for, regardless of their school. They're a local player with local connections, and I know a lot of people listening, although IU fans might also have a soft spot in their heart or do have a soft spot for Rondale Moore and want to see success from him. I followed Purdue's happenings, football happenings yesterday enough to know he's not on the depth chart for this weekend. Coach Brohm says he's not going to play this weekend against Penn State. Anything else on Rondale Moore?
Well, I don't have any more of an update than that. I wish I did. I find it really interesting that they've ruled him out for Saturday and that Brohm said yesterday that he hopes it's not season-ending. but they don't know, or he says they don't know. You know, there's so many things at stake here, at play here. Rondale Moore is, you know, Sindelar might play in the NFL. I mean, he's got an NFL arm, for sure. And Elijah Sindelar, they announced he has a broken clavicle, and they didn't say for sure he's out for the year, but, I mean, yeah, you're out for the year with that. Rondale, they're not saying that, but unlike Sindelar, who, you know, could, you know, make an NFL roster someday, Rondale Moore's a first-round draft pick. And there's a lot of money here on the line going forward, and they're managing the privacy of and his future. And granted, you can't hide it. Like if he blew his knee out or whatever, that'll come out eventually. But they're not sure right now what to deal with, how to deal with his future. And I'm not saying his knee's blown out at all. It's possible, as bad as it looked, and I was there. As bad as it looked, it's possible it's a 1 week hyperextension, and he'll be back in 2 weeks. I mean, I don't know, but I find it, like I say, I find it odd that they know he won't play this week, but they're not sure he'll miss 3 months. It just tells me there's something more there they don't want to get into yet. And I will tell you that I'm there, and it happened on the same damn play. I mean, you know, Purdue fans talk about Purdue luck, and mainly in basketball, where guys just keep getting hurt in March, and this was kind of peak Purdue's. They're already without their best defensive player, Marcus Bailey, linebacker. They're out without their second best defensive player, Lorenzo Neal, the defensive tackle. Their third and fourth best players, and not in that order, are Sindelar and Moore. And Sindelar and Moore got hurt in the same play. Moore's going out for a pass and plants his leg, and his knee hyperextends. And because Sindelar's rolling that direction and Moore's gone, Sindelar has to eat the ball, and a guy sacks him from behind, breaks his shoulder. So it's unbelievable.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. I tell you what, did you – and I know injuries have played and will play a big part in Purdue's maybe lack of success this season, but so much positive momentum last year on the field and in recruiting for Coach Brohm. Of course, he bypassed that Louisville opportunity, which I wonder how he feels about that right now, which we'll never know. But did you see anything like this coming this season? I know we can never predict injuries and that sort of thing, but, I mean, obviously – you didn't see Purdue being what one and three right now? One and three to start the year with losses to Nevada and TCU.
No, there's no way to see this, especially if you had told anybody in the preseason that in the first after two games into the year, Elijah Sindelar will be leading the country in passing yards. You know, the big question really was, I mean, it wasn't a huge question because Sindelar's played a lot in the past, but the question, you know, David Blau was a record-setting great quarterback, and they're changing quarterback. We all know how important that position is. So if Sindelar can behave himself, and I mean on the field, not throw picks and all that, then that would be pretty good. Well, again, two games into the year, he's leading the country in passing yards. He threw for 500 yards in game two. If you were to tell anybody that, and yet they're going to be 1-3, it doesn't make any sense. But the injuries, you know, everybody gets injuries. We get it. Injuries are not an excuse. We get it. But not all things are created equal. And Indiana's in the same boat as Purdue in this regard, in that you're not Ohio State, where you don't a guy goes down, you replace him with another four-star, five-star recruit. No, at Purdue, you're lucky to have four or five great players. And when all four or five of them are hurt, and David Bell's probably their next best. Well, David Bell and George Karlaftis are the next best two players, true freshmen. Karlaftis is contributing. Well, both are contributing right now, but that is their six best players that I've already named. Four of them are out. You can't overcome that if you're Purdue. You just can't do it. Not in Brohm's third year, maybe his fifth or sixth year, maybe. Not right now.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Let's talk IU football. So close until the final moments of the game against Michigan State, at Michigan State on Saturday, a 40-31 loss for the Hoosiers. They're 3-2 overall. Bye week this week, and then they've got an interesting stretch forthcoming where this team I think is going to have some real opportunities to get bowl eligible, if not even bypass that six-win mark this season if things go their way. I really like Michael Penix. I know you and I have talked about this some already, but when he is in the game for Indiana, some good things happen, and I just believe that he's going to be a guy, whether it's later this year, whether it's into the future seasons where he leads the team as QB, I think he's going to be a guy that helps this Indiana team win a couple games against Big Ten upper echelon teams that you don't think that they're going to win. I think he's going to have some signature moments in his career as a Hoosier. I like what I see with each additional outing from him.
Oh, yeah, he's a game changer. Michael Penix is a game changer. They kind of thought that. This is not a surprise. When they signed him, they thought, we just got a game changer out of Florida. And yeah, they did. So he's going to, I don't know if he's going to lead, you know, the country in passing or anything like that, but he's going to throw for a ton of yards if he stays healthy, a ton of yards. Peyton Ramsey was a fine player. Michael Penix is a game changer. One thing, and we're running out of time, I want to get into is I noticed during the game yesterday, Saturday, that Tom Allen was trending on Twitter, and I didn't know why. You click on Tom Allen, and all of a sudden you get a million tweets, and it was all the same thing. He was trending for one reason only, because the way he behaved on the sideline. And I don't mean that in a loaded way. I mean just who he is on the sideline. People, for the most part, and there were a few exceptions. I saw a few people like it, but for the most part, people were crushing him. And it was people saying, I'm rooting for IU in this game, or I'm an IU fan, but I want Tom Allen to go away, or I want to, someone tweeted out, I love the Hoosiers, but I want to punch Tom Allen in the face, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, mean stuff, but because they don't like the way he runs up and down the sideline and screams and all this stuff, what does that really mean, and why am I even bringing it up? No real reason. I don't have a judgment on it. It's more just, it's fascinating when your head coach is trending on Twitter for that reason.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, as always, thanks for the chat. Always fun to have you with us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Matt. See
you. All right. Greg Doyle from the Indianapolis Star with us. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Romeo Langford. It was media day yesterday in Boston. Training camp underway now for this Celtics team, as it is for most NBA teams across the country. And preseason games coming up for the Celtics, their first game on Sunday. So Romeo Langford, we know, is healthy. We know he's cleared. We know he's now able to participate in full contact activities and practices and scrimmages and anything else that might go on. So going to be interesting to see what type of PT he earns in some of these early exhibition games now that he's healthy. And if he gets some minutes, it's going to be interesting to see what his shot looks like and how successful his shot is, because I think everybody confident with a lot of other parts of his game for a rookie, but the shot is something obviously that could dictate whether he gets legitimate playing time or not and finds perhaps a serious role on this Celtics team for the upcoming season. When we come back, Tom Westerholm of Mass Live will join me on the program. He's the beat writer for the Boston Celtics. We're going to talk all about media day yesterday, get ready for the preseason, talk about Romeo's potential roles on this team now that he's healthy, and what Tom sees the opportunities could be like for him in some of the upcoming preseason contests, where normally you don't see a lot of the normal starters, the main players, obviously not start and normally don't get a lot of playing time, if any, depending on the situation. So we'll talk about all that and check in on the full Romeo Langford situation in Boston coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, the NBA preseason is almost here, and everybody in Southern Indiana wants to know, is Romeo Langford healthy? Has his shot improved? What sort of playing time could he expect in preseason games and beyond for the Boston Celtics this upcoming season? And joining us on the program today is Tom Westerholm, who writes for the MassLive.com website as the Boston Celtics beat writer and someone that we've counted on a couple times now to provide us with updates from Boston on Romeo Langford as he hopefully settling in for his upcoming rookie season. Tom, media day yesterday, preseason games start later in the week for this Celtics team. A lot going on right now for the team and a lot going on for you, so we're very appreciative of a few moments to catch up with you today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on.
Let's talk about yesterday, media day. You were there, lots of activities, interviews that the public got to see, including a brief one with Romeo Langford on the Celtics.com website. But many other things go on at an NBA media day, much like Indiana University, who just had theirs last week as well. Tell us some of the activities that Romeo and all the Celtics were involved in yesterday to help kind of kick off the season officially with the media.
Yeah, so I mean, media day, usually they, you know, will have just a big press conference kind of session with all the different players. Everybody comes in and talks to, you know, the TV cameras and crews that are there and all the beat reporters and everybody. And they also, you know, kind of use that opportunity to take team photos and to shoot promos that they'll have in the Jumbotron, you know, over the TD Garden during the season. So it's just sort of a chance for media wise. It's mostly just a chance for us all to sort of catch up and, you know, get a sense of where guys are at and then, you know, kind of get ready for the season.
Tom Westerholm, MassLive.com, covers the Celtics, and we're talking with him today about Romeo Langford. Exhibition games, preseason games, start this week for the Boston team. In fact, I think their first game is on Sunday. That said, Romeo Langford, it's been said now for a few weeks at minimum, is cleared to play. He talked about this some yesterday. He's able to compete in full contact practices and drills and other activities. With the hand healthy, with no guard or cast or wrap or anything on there that we could tell, do you expect to see him log some pretty ample minutes with other rookies as well in the upcoming preseason games?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think this is going to be a good chance for the Celtics to get a sense of what Romeo is going to be able to bring this season. Obviously, you know, they didn't draft him, you know, 14th to just kind of have him, you know, sit around all year, I don't think. I think they're, you know, excited to see what he'll bring. You know, and the preseason is a perfect chance for that because obviously they didn't get a chance to see him in summer league. And, you know, like you were saying, you know, it sounds like he's really healthy. It sounds like he's ready to go. He joked yesterday that he's got the ping pong paddle off his left hand. So, It sounds like he's pretty happy with where his shot is right now, and you know I think that's going to obviously define a lot of you know how much playing time and everything else he gets this season. But I do think that the preseason is going to be big for him just to get a sense of where he's at and how much they think he can contribute right away.
I know there'll be a lot of viewers from our area checking out some of these Celtics preseason games. What are some things that Romeo needs to do? Obviously, you want to see him score. You want to see his shot get back to normal, maybe going even back to his high school days at New Albany. But to earn playing time and more so to earn a important role on this team as a rookie, what are some things that you feel like as somebody that follows the team, that knows the team, and has watched so many changes happen in the offseason, not just the draft picks in the draft class for the Celtics, but some other major changes with key players as well. What are things that he can do and take advantage of in these preseason games that could maybe help him even earlier in the season than some expect to find a meaningful role for the Celtics?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the shot is the big one, and that's sort of like the long-term question. Like, if he's able to shoot, you know, 36, 37, 38% from three in the NBA, I think then all of a sudden his career trajectory really, you know, sort of spikes. Like, if that's what he can do, then he's going to be a real tough offensive player. I think for right now, the Celtics are probably looking for more of what they saw in college. You know, they want to see him be able, I'm guessing here, but I think they probably want to see him be able to slash the way he did, get to the rim, finish around the rim. Obviously, he was a really talented finisher. And, you know, get to the line. You know, last year's Celtics team just never got to the free throw line, and that's something that Romeo does really well. You know, he does a great job of creating contact and you know, kind of forcing defensive players to make a decision and to foul him. So I think they'll be looking for all of that, and I think it's really going to help him that he is the type of player who can create off the dribble and who, you know, who can do, you know, just a lot of those things with the ball in his hands. You know, that's going to matter on this team, I think. So it'll be interesting to see how much that translates. The Celtics do have a ton of depth at that position, you know, that sort of 2-3, you know, sort of region. Obviously, that's kind of where Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and, you know, even Jason Tatum at the 3 sometimes, that's pretty crowded. But I do think that, you know, there's room for Romeo to show the ways that he can contribute right away, you know, especially – you know, especially if he can show that he can get to the line, if he can show that he can get into the paint and, you know, sort of break a defense down a little bit.
Tom Westerholm of MassLive.com, my guest. Obviously, with any rookie, specifically a draft pick, you want to know where they're going to fit in, how could they fit in, what type of minutes and role could they see early in the season, middle of the season, late in the season. But I get a sense, and obviously from a distance here, that it's even different because not only was Romeo out in the summer and unable to participate in summer league games, meaning the preseason games coming up will be the first time that really in a competitive game against other NBA level talent you have a chance to see him. But in addition to that, so many changes with key players, big names departing, big names coming in for this Boston team, that's just a whole nother moving piece with this franchise, with this team right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's sort of everything is up in the air right now. It's funny to look at their big man rotation, and you truly have no idea who's going to be playing sort of the lion's share of minutes. You really don't know. Like having everybody kind of depart the way they did this summer was put everything up into flux. And you know, I think they do sort of have, you know, established guys at you know, certain positions. Obviously they have, you know, the Kembas and the Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, like those guys are going to get the minutes. But yeah, I do think that, you know, especially for some of these rookies, you know, for Romeo, for Carson Edwards, for Grant Williams, I think that there are real opportunities coming off the bench to force their way into the rotation, you know, and it could be kind of painful for some of the Celtics players who came back and who, you know, you look at somebody like Brad Wanamaker who re-signed this summer, who didn't play at all last year. There's going to be like Carson and Romeo and guys who, you know, might claim those minutes over him. And it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. But, you know, this team, yeah, like you were saying, it's just question marks all up and down. And I think preseason is going to be really, really fascinating for them as they sort of try to answer those questions.
Tom Westerholm of MassLive.com, I guess you can read his coverage all season long of Romeo and the Celtics at the MassLive.com website. When training camp underway after the media day officially for not just Boston but for all NBA teams, tell us more about, you know, keep in mind Southern Indiana, the Pacers are a couple hours to our north, but, you know, we're focused on college basketball and high school basketball for the most part in this area. That said, tell us about training camp. I'm assuming it's practices. I'm assuming it's a lot of preseason prep work for players like Romeo that are new, for players that might get a lot of minutes in preseason games, which start soon, but also for the stars as well, getting everybody on the same page together, putting in some of the details of offense and defense. Just maybe expand on what an NBA training camp includes and as much as maybe you specifically know about the Celtics and how they do things.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, the biggest thing that a lot of teams do during this kind of stretch is really try to familiarize their guys with their system. And that was something that, you know, especially the rookies really needed to work on during summer league. That was really the focus. And, you know, for Romeo too, just especially Romeo, maybe because he wasn't playing, just, you know, understanding the system, knowing, you know, here's where we switch, here's where we hedge, here's how we defend, you know, here's what you do off the ball in this scenario. That type of thing is really, really hammered home during training camp. And, you know, and there, you know, the sort of the run, you know, the 5-on-5 action they do can be really important. Like, it can help define, you know, how much time a guy might get in, you know, in a preseason game, and, you know, how well a guy plays in a preseason game can define how many minutes he gets early in the season. So, I mean, this kind of time of year really does matter, and it's, you know, it's really important from a learning perspective, but it is also important just, you know, on the court, showing what you can do. So, yeah, I mean, for rookies, this is, I can't imagine being an NBA rookie, because it just, all of it must be such a whirlwind. You know, you're in a new city, and your whole new system, whole complicated NBA, you know, sets and everything. It's a lot for these guys.
Tom Westerholm, MassLive.com, our guest. He covers the Celtics for MassLive, and we hope to have him on from time to time throughout the season to talk about Boston and Romeo Langford. What has been your opinion? I mean, you've done this for a while. You've covered the NBA. You've covered Boston for a while. What's your take on Romeo Langford? The few opportunities, I'm sure, is all it's been to hear from him, to interview him. You did do a fantastic feature piece, which is how we initially got connected, that kind of mentioned his hype back here in Indiana and what it was like growing up in basketball-crazed New Albany. That's when we had you on the show the first time. But what have your interactions been like with him, maybe compared to a normal NBA rookie? Pretty soft-spoken. I wanted to yell through the computer monitor yesterday, "Romeo, put the microphone closer to your mouth so we can all hear you." But nonetheless, what have your interactions with him been like so far in your dealings?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people back in New Albany who know this as well. I mean, he's just a super pleasant, you know, person. You know, he's just very, you know, like you said, he's very soft-spoken, but he's, you know, very, very respectful, you know, very, very nice, you know, young man. And then, you know, just kind of from talking to his teammates too, it's been interesting to, you know, I've talked to a couple of teammates who are just like, yeah, that's just who he is. Like, it's not for the media. It's not for anybody. He's just a kind of a quiet guy. And, you know, he's seems like he's sort of just taking everything in. And I am kind of curious to know how much of that is just a 19-year-old in a completely new city and a completely new setting and all that. Like, I'm sure that's some of it. But yeah, I mean, he's been very pleasant. You know, his teammates like him quite a lot. You know, I've talked to people within the organization. You know, that Danny Ainge is high, very high on him. I think they were very excited when he was still available at 14. So, you know, it's just as an individual, obviously he's a pleasant guy. And I think that has sort of, translated, you know, to his teammates. They do seem to like him quite a bit.
Now, preseason games begin Sunday coming up, October 6th, a 6 o'clock game. Boston host Charlotte. In the preseason games, you mentioned that your feeling is, and again, we're just asking obviously your opinion. We'll know a lot more for sure once everything gets underway. But you feel like now that he's cleared, now that he's healthy, obviously without seeing him at Summer League, this is the opportunity for Romeo and, of course, the other rookies as well, likely that even the ones that did play big minutes out in Las Vegas at the Summer League to get plenty of playing time. With that said, what will the full rotation, the full roster look like? Will they all be there? Will the big guys, the stars, be there? Will they play some minutes? I think it's pretty custom that a star player necessarily doesn't start preseason games, but they get some minutes. Is that right?
No, I would expect, and especially on this team, I would expect Kemba, you know, and Jalen and Tatum to all probably start. They're all, you know, this is all kind of an opportunity for them to play together. A lot of the Celtics guys did play together at Team USA, but this is sort of a chance for everyone to take the court together for the first time and develop a little chemistry. So I would expect them all to start, but I mean, I think it's definitely fair to say that, you know, like maybe in the second half, especially, that you might start to see, you know, Kemba get shut down. You might start to see Tatum get shut down, and you definitely will start to see more minutes for the rookies, assuming everybody's healthy. You know, just to see what everybody has. So, you know, I think that, you know, people tuning in to that game on Sunday, you know, maybe not. I would say especially the second half. I would expect there to be a ton of action for the rookies, a ton of action for the young guys as they try to try to get a sense of what everybody can bring.
Absolutely. Tom Westerholm, MassLive.com. Follow him on Twitter. Visit the MassLive.com site to read his great in-depth coverage as the Celtics beat writer. Tom, it's been great to meet you. It's been great to have you on. We look forward to having you on from time to time for updates on Romeo and this Boston team. And I think you're at TD Garden now, or the practice facility now, I should say, because you're going to hear from Coach Brad Stevens, another Indiana native, coming up here in just a few minutes, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. We got Brad, and we'll have sort of the first impressions from everybody after the first practice. So it should be pretty fascinating today to hear what everybody has to say.
All right, we'll be looking for your coverage to read, I'm sure, later today, Tom. Thank you very much.
Of course. Thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely. Tom Westerholm, MassLive.com. He had a great feature on Romeo Langford back after he was drafted and had been there a few weeks, and reached out to him. Great guy, and look forward to having him on here on the Hoosier Report from time to time to share what Romeo Langford is up to. And, of course, Sunday it all begins. I've had so many questions. How do we watch the Celtics? How can we follow the Celtics? Well, the best way that I can tell you is NBA has League Pass. And if you go to League Pass, you can buy the pass for the entire season, which outside of some blackout games for the Pacers, you get every NBA game. You can watch them live or on demand. You can also just listen to the audio as well if you're out and about and don't have the opportunity to watch on your phone and you just want to listen as you go somewhere. But you could also select the Celtics as well and just buy the Celtics package. And I think the only time you're at risk of not being able to get the game in this area is if they play in Indianapolis at the Pacers. But it's reasonable. I think the team packages are $100-something. The full package may be somewhere around $300, but you can see all the games and follow Romeo with as much or as little playing time as he gets to start the season. Going to be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to the preseason games, and again, as Tom mentioned, don't be surprised if you do see Romeo without any or much playing time in the first half. No matter what the score is, if you want to see him play the second half and later in the game, you can bet that the rookies are going to get some time, including Romeo Langford, to get some minutes and get out there on the court. So Sunday, I'm sure, in addition to me, lots of others will be tuning in to a meaningless Boston-Charlotte NBA preseason game. Not sure I've ever really watched a preseason game in its entirety before, but probably will do so this coming Sunday with Romeo Langford making his NBA debut, at least in the preseason. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. Do not forget, Friday night we have high school football coverage, 5+ hours of local coverage coming your way here on the Big X Sports Radio. We start at 6 o'clock with the Kentuckiana High School kickoff show, where we preview the big games on both sides of the river for week 7 of high school football. And then at 7 o'clock, we have our Southern Indiana Football Fridays coverage, roving coverage around the area. I've described it to people as Red Zone on the radio. We try to get some highlights and some updates from as many games as possible. We'll have a couple feature games this week with play-by-play from there. But we'll have call-in reports, and I have constant scoreboards every 10 minutes or so. So no matter who you're following or what you want to know, we've got it for you pretty regularly and pretty consistently here on our football coverage Friday night. I'll be back with you Wednesday at 11 o'clock for the Hoosier Report. We'll talk more IU basketball. We'll start to dive into Hoosier hysteria from a recruiting perspective as well. We've talked so much about how big the event is for recruiting. We'll start to drill down into who some of the visitors are, officially and unofficially, at least the ones we know about. There'll always be more than what we know that actually arrive and show up on campus. But no question about it, a big day set. I saw a release of the schedule yesterday, or at least an overview of Hoosier hysteria from IU yesterday, and it looks like there will be a brief scrimmage. It didn't give a set amount of time or how much time is going to be allotted for that part of the day, but it looks like the last thing on the agenda, at least for the men's team, was labeled as a brief scrimmage. So that will be the highlight of the day as far as for the current team is involved, or I'm sure. So have a great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us today. Again, thanks to Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, and also Tom Westerholm of MassLive.com for an update on Romeo Langford. That's going to wrap things up. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.